from Knockadoon to Ardmore, so much to do and see. Welcome along, listeners, to the programme 3 in the series of Knockadoon to Ardmore. And, of course, our special guest is Michael Brooks, historian. Michael, again, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for dropping in. Thank you very much. Good morning to everybody.
Michael, some of the ecclesiastical foundations from our area, there's loads.
Absolutely hundreds. And I kind of started this off first, and I was kind of saying, I'll start in Knockadoon or Ballymacoda and kind of go over to Ardmore and come back into Youghal and all this. But you just couldn't do them all. You know, it's absolutely impossible, because I'll have to spend more time with Youghal and get back into it a few more things. And it's just, I said, because it's Easter, the month of Easter, we'll try and do some of the churches around the place.
Yeah, we'll link it in with the churches.
And absolutely. And some of them are gone, you know. So this is one of the reasons I said that it'd be nice just to hear about the past and what was there and some of the stories that came from it. And so, yeah, hopefully it'll be okay.
This, you know, the question I suppose people would be asking is, why was there so much, we'd say, religious buildings here?
I suppose in around the whole area, I suppose, first of all, Youghal was a very important town anyway, because of obviously because of the river and all that.
Yes.
So I suppose more so than anywhere else. And it was a building town. It was like, because there was so many people coming from different countries, Bristol, you know, the famous
cosmopolitan town.
And it was all kind of break off shoots of different religions starting up their own kind of, and this is what today we're kind of going, and we might break this into two bits as well, because there's a lot in
there's a lot in this, so this will be part one of the mini series of
Programme 3. So we'll probably break it into two bits and go with it. But I was kind of saying, I start with kind of Knockadoon or the Knockadoon Ballymacoda, and I contacted a good friend of mine, Dennis McCarthy,
an old
classmate of mine.
He's the
postman outside there, very much involved in the whole area, we'll say, of Ballymacoda, Ladies Bridge, all this, and the history side of it. And Dennis is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I have to say,
a mind of information,
a total gentleman. And I was saying about Ballymacoda Church, and Dennis said, listen, you have to come out, and he says, you have to come to Kilcreddon Church. And to be honest with you, I had never heard of Kilcreddon Church until Dennis mentioned it.
Yes.
Never heard of the area or any of that.
Yes.
So I had arranged to meet up with Dennis there one morning a couple of weeks back. So I cycled out my little red trusted bike, which has a little battery, so not that
didn't
fit.
Take a long to come out. So
quite good. Yeah. And went out and met. Now, I was a little early, so I was able to get into Kilcreddon myself and have a look around the place.
The graveyard and the ruins of the church.
And the ruins of the church. Mm. And it's just, you know, I keep saying for this kind of programme here is hopefully that people will get up and go out and visit these places. Kilcreddon Church is one of these places. It'd be a nice place to go by yourself, you know the way, on a fine day, if you just want to go out and do your own bit and find yourself, you know, this is the place to go, because it's a lovely little spot.
Right down in the valley.
Right
isn't
down
it?
The valley.
Right the valley, yeah.
And
yeah.
Because I'll definitely tell how, you know, to get to Kilcreddon, it is quite easy, actually, because, again, Google Maps, that's how I kind of found it initially, first of all. But if you're heading from Youghal, we'll say, to Knockadoon, you know, you go to, the Red Baron Road and all that, and carry on for Knockadoon, or carry on for Ballymacoda, you'll come to the kind of the bad bend, you'll go over the bridge at the Womana.
Yes.
You'll come to the kind of, there's a bit of a bad bend, and O'Neill's?
Father O'Neill's GA Field there is on the left-hand side.
On the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Go down past.
On the right-hand side, should I say, if you're going down along. Yeah.
Go down past Father O'Neill's. And keep going past it, and it'll bring you back on to, you'll come to a junction, it's a kind of a crossroads, an offset crossroads, and because that's the main Ballymacoda Ladies Bridge Road. But if you look over to your right, you can see the road carries on. Mm. So it's a cross junction, but it's a little offset.
A staggered cross junction, that's the good word for it. Yeah.
But if you just go up there and keep going, you'll pass
the school.
That's amazing school, because I just passed it, and I just said, wow, you know, it was a big school.
Well, it was a huge school, I can remember a time that was actually up in the field a little bit. It was just a two-room schoolhouse, which was knocked down, and that one was built there.
Absolutely amazing.
And it's huge. Of course, it serves a huge interland, Ladies Bridge,
absolutely,
all around the area there.
Yeah, because I just, when I passed it, I said, you know, I this was my first time ever passing the Place Knoll.
Yes.
So it was great. I went down the valley, straight on past the school, down the valley, and you can't miss it. Kilcreddon is on the right hand side there.
Yes.
Beautiful day. It was an absolutely beautiful day. It's built on a little hill, and it does a little. The graveyard is around it. I said it to Dennis afterwards. I said that tombstones and everything that were in the graveyard, up especially up at the back, they're huge. You know how the people even got them up there.
Yes. Oh yes.
I don't know. You know the way because this was probably 1700s as well.
Mm.
But what it was we'll say if we start with Kilcreddon again. What it was Dennis gave me from. Martin Melrick. That's what it was. Martin Melrick. I don't know Martin Melrick. I've never met him.
Yes,
I don't think I've met Martin
He's
Melrick.
He's not too far away now from the graveyard at all.
Oh, isn't he? No, he knows it well. So.
He does, yeah.
And he wrote a piece called Kilcreddon, a Pilgrimage. And in Dennis was very, very good, kind enough to give me a loan of this. And this is where I'm kind of getting my information from now as well.
Yes,
I think Martin actually wrote afterwards a book the Ballymacota, St. Peter's in Chains, Roman Catholic Church in Ballymacota as well. And he did a very good book on that as well himself. Actually, myself and Dennis, we were classmates as well, but we were classmates with Liam Melrick.
I'm
not sure if, obviously, they're probably related.
Yeah.
But
they're not too far. The Melrick family are just up the road from the graveyard.
Just
up from the graveyard.
Very good,
yeah.
Very good. Because good morning to Liam, if you're listening as well. An old classmate, I haven't seen him for years. But to go back to Kilcreddon, I suppose, and... as I said, some of the information from Martin's writings as well. So we reckon, he reckons that there was a church there built, you know, beforehand. Obviously enough, we'll say before the church that's there,
the ruin
of the church that's there now as well. These would have been small churches, Noel. Like these would have been kind of maybe timber framed, probably mud lined or whatever it was as well.
Roughly off the top of your head, when would that church have been there?
You could really say from 800 onwards.
Oh, would it be that early? There would be worship going on
but
there.
There would have been, because most of these churches were built in church lands anyway, you know the way. So, and if you think of it from St. Declan's time onwards and St. Patrick's time onwards, all these little churches, and when I say little church, I really do mean little church, because there would have been 10, 15 persons, you know, the way inside in it. I suppose, you know, it must have been outside because they couldn't fit everybody inside. And the reason, you know, they couldn't build huge things, it was really when the Normans came to Ireland.
When they of course, they become more proficient with stone and timber roofs, etc.
Get them a lot bigger as well.
Yeah.
There was what they used to say was the Romanesque type churches as well, Cashel now and all that has the door.
Yes.
These would have been like the around the 1000, the year 1000, 1100s and all that as well. These would have been pre-Normans, but the main churches that we have today, that's still standing today, the older churches like St. Mary's, the Collegiate Church, would have been all kind of the Norman times, you know. They built it and they built it big, you know. But I suppose, you know, there must have been like lots of little churches around the place. And
Churchlands is a very, very common name in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
The church might be gone, but you'd often come across an area, townland, called churchlands. There might be no church there for centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'd still be called churchlands.
White Church as well.
White Church would be another place.
Just outside as well. So, but this Kilcreddon Church, Dennis had said it to me, he says, you should come to here, he says, because, you know, it's well linked with Yall as well.
It is, yeah.
I didn't know that. And as I said, I didn't know about the church at all before 2 weeks ago, basically. So we'd say in 1636, the church was rebuilt. So it was a Catholic. Now, this was a Catholic graveyard, a Catholic church, but it was rebuilt by a guy. You know, I hope I get his. I must put in a disclaimer now here before we start.
Yeah.
I'm going to slaughter some names,
places. I'm sure they won't mind.
And some of the, and I was saying to Noel earlier on here as well, some of the dates, you might say, oh, that's wrong. That date is wrong. There's so many dates.
They have to be approximate. You can't give an exact date.
But hopefully we're very close, because what I kind of kept doing was, if I could find 3 dates the same, I'll use that date. You know,
yes,
the way, because there was just so many dates. But in 1636, the church that was there, the old church, it was probably a little ruin or whatever it was. It was built by the local gentry landowner, a guy called Robert Tinnett. So Robert Tinnett, and I hope his name right, T-Y-N-T-E, who was an Anglican. So it was the Catholic church, but it was changed over then to the Anglican faith as well then at that stage. We all know this guy. from the simple fact, and it's Tynan's Castle here.
Tynan's Castle, as some people call it.
We call it Tynan's Castle.
Tynan's Castle.
Tynan's Castle.
Yes, some people, again, abbreviation of names. Some people will call it up the country Tynan's. More people will call it Tynan's Castle. Tynan's Castle, yeah.
Okay, and but everybody here, I suppose everybody in Yald kind of calls it Tynan's Castle because Tynan's Pub.
Exactly, as long as I did.
Good morning, Frank, if you're listening. So it's just easier to say it as well. But so it was the same guy. So Tyne, we call him Tyne. So Tyne came to Ireland about the end of the 16th century, we'll say, you know, the late 1500s. He came along with the likes of the Walter Raleigh and Edmund Spenser, the famous Walter Raleigh and Edmund Spenser, the poet.
Yes.
And this was all kind of at the end of the Desmond Rebellion. Now, I'm going to go back some other time again to the Fitzgeralds and the Desmond Rebellion as well, because there's a great story there as well. He lived kind of, I suppose, initially he lived in Yall, but then Ballycrenan Castle,
which
is very close to
that's around the top of the hill and the other side actually. Yeah,
okay, yeah, because and Dennis said there wasn't very much left of the castle
at
this stage.
No,
right, yeah. Ruin as well. So he kind of, I suppose, he had end of days was there in that. But when I walked into the place, actually myself, Noel, the first thing I looked at, and it was a monument, a tomb to himself, and I looked at it and I said, geez, it's very like the Richard Boyle's tomb up in St. Mary's.
Yes.
Yeah, anybody sees that.
Yes. But like, I think that's located inside, is it just inside the church?
It's in the south. Oh, yeah, for Tynan's, it's just inside. Once you walk in the door,
it's there.
It's very, very, it's like a scaled down, cheaper version of, Richard Boyle's up in the south transept of the church.
It's a mini vault.
It is indeed, yeah. And so it's well worth it just to have a look at that as well, because, and like this guy liked himself, obviously enough, you know, he is himself lying down, a bit like Richard Boyle's one as well, and he's got his wives kneeling down in front of him as well, little statues. They're headless now at this stage, you know, the way, so there was obviously some damage, you know, there was no roof in the place as well. So obviously over time there was some damage done there as well. He's dressed himself as a knight with a sword on his side, and then there was kind of a description of his two wives, and these were kneeling down in front of him as well. His first wife was called Philippa Harris, and she was the daughter of a guy called Sir Edward Harris. Now, we're going to get back into him as well afterwards. And then there's a monument for the Harris family right across from Tynan's monument as well. We'll see in the church, within the church's thing. So there's two main ones. There's another one there. Is it Wallace or Walsh or something? There's another one at the other end of the church.
Yes.
A smaller one again. But so obviously his first wife, we'll say, was Philippa. She died, and he obviously got on very well with his father-in-law as well, because they were all buried, we'll say. Yeah, well, yeah. Sir Edward is buried there.
Yeah.
I reckon he was probably we'll say he was initially buried there.
And he was reinterred someplace else.
I think back to his own place in England as well. That's what they reckon.
Basically, he was making a statement.
A big statement about himself.
About his wealth and his stature in society.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then, we'll say, when his first wife died, his second wife, she was a widow. Called Elizabeth Spenser. Now, Elizabeth Spenser was Edmund Spenser, the poet's wife.
When
he died, Robert Tynan, we'd say, married her. And she, her maiden name was Boyle. So she's one of the Boyles up in the collegial, we'll say, up there at the things. So Richard Boyle, the Earl of Cork. So that's where, I suppose, he gets his idea for the church and all this kind of good stuff.
His
little tomb as well. But she died as well in, sorry about all the dates here, but she died in 1622 and buried also in Kilcredden.
Yes.
So if you think of it, they all kind of died early. But then in 1936, it was built. We'll say the church was built. So she was dead in 1622. So probably buried outside first, maybe in the main graveyard, and then brought in as well.
Yes.
The church itself, then. So there wasn't much kind of more for about the church as well, but the church, we'll say, closed in the early 1900s, Noel. and the church authorities, which is an unfortunate thing, they sold the timber floor and the roof to a local builder in Castle Martyr. So it was, you know,
the, right. So hence the floor and the roof, of course, are exposed to the elements now at this stage.
You know,
it's just a ruin, basically.
And it's just a ruin, we'll say. Mm. So it's only the walls, kind of, we'll say, there at the time, which are there now. But it's very well maintained, I have to say. It's very well done.
Well, the graveyard there's still people being interred in the graveyard.
But there is, and even during, we'll say, when, like, if it was obviously a Church of Ireland, a Protestant run, you know, during them days, but they said that, like, the local vicars and all that, there were still Catholics coming along because their ancestors were buried there.
Oh, yes.
So they were still, and they were very lenient towards it as well. Yeah, of course you can, you know, there's no problems about that.
Yeah, I think one of our presenters actually here, the late great John McCarthy from Ballymacode, is actually buried there.
Go way out of it. Yeah. And it's a real old, you know the way, it is an ancient, there is a few new places, see, exactly, oh, you're right.
A working, for want of a better word, graveyard.
Yeah.
It's still being used, you know.
Absolutely fantastic.
Which is great, I suppose, to see it, you know.
As I said, it's a lovely place just to go out, sit down.
Lovely, tranquil place, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And listen to
the birds.
You
can see why they built a church there, can't you?
Well, when I came in first, I kind of had to get back on the Google Maps because I just would have thought it was going to be up in the hill. You know the way, when you're coming out past the school, you're looking at a big hill, and I kind of said, I came to a crossroads and I said, well, you know, do I go up the hill or do I carry on? And got on Google Maps, and Google Maps said, no, carry on. So I went down. No, it was a funny one because we'll say it was the church closed, as I said, in the early 1900s. But 20 years later, it was being used again, but not for religion. It was used actually as a Sinn Féin court during the times.
Yeah.
Because they need, you know, at the time, we'll say, when they weren't... they wouldn't recognise, we'll say, the British courts anymore.
Yes.
So the local courts was inside the church, and it was used again during the Civil War as a prison.
My goodness.
So they were locking up the lads still inside there as well.
Fascinating.
And that's all from Martin Millerick's book as well. Thank you again, Martin, for all this information.
Well, as people pass that little Kilcreighton church, who would have ever guessed
absolutely
it was a court and a prison?
A court and a prison inside there.
Who would have ever guessed that?
When you walk in.
Yes.
And when you walk in, you'd know it would have been easy to keep people locked kind of away as well because, you know, there's only small windows.
Yes.
And there's two doors now into it. I think at the time there was only one door as well.
Yes.
But it's an absolutely beautiful place.
Beautiful place. And but well maintained.
It's brilliantly done. It's well worth a trip, lads. And even if you're going out there for a drive someday, just after the church, we said there's a little bit of a Y junction. It's just straight after the church, really. If you go take the right turn, you'll head off to Garryvaugh Beach.
That's right.
The whole area there. It's beautiful. Yeah. But for us, we always like to go back on the left side, and that's back to Knockadoon. You know the way, our faithful Knockadoon.
Knockadoon, yeah.
Listen, I totally recommend if you stop at, there's a little takeaway down below at the end of the pier there as well called the Lobster Pot.
Yes.
And there's a very good gentleman, John O'Brien, and he'd be glad to give you some tea and coffee. He's back from his trip from Ukraine. You had him on there.
That's right, we had him on there a couple of weeks ago.
Brilliant.
It's a fabulous place, and there's been fabulous work done to the place in recent